This podcast is brought to you by Adidas. Same dogs, new threads. Head to huskyteamstore.com to check out the new collection.
Hello and welcome to the postcast. I'm Josh Kirschenbaum here once again with Alec Dietz. It is about 6:55 in the evening here at Husky Stadium. Yeah, sun's gone down, but it's still pretty early. And we are in the Husky Stadium press box after Washington's 31-13 win over Washington State. Seventh straight Apple Cup win.
Pretty much what we expected, if we're being honest.
Pretty much what we've come to expect from this series.
Right.
Talk about it.
I said that it was kind of what we expected, but it also kind of wasn't what we expected in the early going. Washington State scored their first touchdown since 2012 in the first quarter.
First quarter touchdown.
First quarter touchdown since 2012, which happened to be the last time they won the game. But then UW goes on to end the game a 31-6 run. Wasn't really in doubt for a lot of it. I know Coach Pete said in the press conference that their turnover, you know, I think there were a couple moments that maybe Washington State could have gotten into it, but you kind of just got the feeling that there wasn't really much Washington State was going to do against Jimmy Lake's defense. Buda Baker tweeted after the game that he still knew all the plays Wazoo was going to run 3 years after he graduated.
Ben Burkervin said he saw the same five plays that he saw last year.
Yep, and then what did Edifon Ulofoshio say?
Harping about Max Borghi.
Max Borghi saying that he's going to score a lot of points. And
he scored seven.
He got six.
He got six. That was almost half of them.
Almost half of Washington State's points. But in the end, kind of the same result, 31-13. And the one big difference in the game was that the Huskies really couldn't get a ground game established until kind of the fourth quarter when they wore them down. After the first quarter, it was sitting at like 9 rushing yards. I believe at halftime, it wasn't really that much better.
It was up in the 20s, I think.
Up in the 20s, tops. And then in the fourth quarter, they kind of broke away and got 98 yards rushing. But this is actually the first game in the Chris Peterson era against Washington State they've been held to less than 150 yards rushing. But they did it through the pass. Jacob Eason missed a couple throws early on in the game, but other than that, pretty much looked confident, made a lot of smart decisions, no interceptions, which is something he'd been plagued with the past couple games. This is kind of what the Huskies have come to expect to do against the Cougars. I think it's a big brother, little brother thing, and while it wasn't in the run game and it wasn't in like, we're going to pound the rock down your throat, it was in a, you know, we're going to throw 50-50 balls, we're going to run past you, it was kind of the same mindset, just in a different way.
Yeah, there were a lot of high percentage throws. I mean, you go into this game always expecting Wazoo to do those, where it's the check downs and whatnot. Washington had a couple where it was the tight ends out wide, where it was just like a 5-yard slant or a 5-yard curl. Kate Otten had a couple where he would just catch it, you know, 6 yards downfield after a simple move and drag a guy 4 yards. Hunter Bryant had a couple of those, and it was just...
Right, that fourth down conversion, I want to say, in the second quarter, or maybe that was on the first drive. It was just a little slant.
Yeah.
And they threw it right to Ott.
Well, and there were a couple of them. I know there was one in particular that stood out to me. I think it was in the third quarter, I want to say, and it was just the first play of the drive. It was first down, and that's something that you saw Washington State do all game long, was get five easy yards on first down. And Washington does that when it can do it in the run game, and they can run the ball and get 5 yards on first down and set up second and easy, third and short. And Washington started doing that in the past game too, which was something that I think really stood out to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, you know, especially on offense, it really was, you know, all year long, it's been about getting the running game going, getting Savon Ahmed going, and getting the ground game established so it sets up second and manageable, third and manageable. And you're right, in this game, they used slants, they used all different kinds of packages to make it third or second and manageable to get big gains. And you're right, it was the tight ends. It was Hunter Bryant, nearly 100 yards on the game. I believe he was sitting at 96. Kate Otten had like 50 yards, a beautifully run or executed screen pass to him. I also believe that was in the third quarter. So they really, really, I mean, honestly, the strength of their offense a lot of times is in their tight ends, whether it's the running game, the passing game. I mean, Hunter Bryant's been their leading receiver all year long. Just the second UW tight end ever to hit 50 receptions in a season, other than Austin Safarian Jenkins. But really, just in a different kind of way, it was a dominating performance. And again, especially after all the frustrations of early this year, even this week, you know, Chris Peterson used words like frustrating, disappointing, perplexing, like they were sick to their stomach. This is kind of how you want to end each season, and the Huskies have come to expect that they're going to win this last game of the season every single year.
Do you want to go first with a turning point, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first. I just talked a lot.
I mean, I wrote this in my instant analysis, but it really was just sort of the way the second half developed. Obviously, I had a tweet midway through the third quarter, or at the end of the third quarter, actually, where, you know, Washington was leading 21-10 at halftime, and that came 28-10 after the first drive of the second half. And then they hold Washington State to a field goal to cut it down, but then they give up a fumble on an awkward play.
Awkward, very awkward, yeah. You can't even really blame Fuller for what happened. He got bent over backwards. And
yeah.
Anyway.
And the field goal came after the fumble, so it was 28-13. Wazoo got the ball back. They were driving down the field, and I looked, and I found the Oregon game when UW was up by, I think it was a touchdown at halftime, and then they made it two touchdowns, and then had an interception or a turnover, and then just sort of lost momentum. And you could sort of see that develop, and then Washington State gets it down. I think it was inside the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Trent McDuffie forces a fumble, which honestly probably could have been a touchdown, maybe.
Should have been. Miles Bryant was very upset after the game. Miles told me that he got robbed.
Yeah.
So.
And
probably was.
Even though, and then Washington doesn't do anything with it, but that's still it going from Washington went three and out, but even still, that's going from Wazoo gets the ball on the 9-yard line to Wazoo gets the ball on the 50-yard line.
Right.
And then of course Anthony Gordon throws his second interception of the day, and Washington doesn't do a ton with that. They go 35 yards and get a field goal. So Washington only got 3 points, but you get down to that end of the game and seconds matter more than points, and Washington's able to bleed off 5 minutes of the fourth quarter just by that.
Right.
And that really took, I mean, by the time Washington State got the ball back, it had 3 minutes to work with, I think.
Yeah.
To get, all of a sudden it was getting 18 points instead of 8 points.
Right.
So that's really how that game turned for me. It wasn't really a defense to offense. It was just sort of a defense to kill the clock.
Right. I think I agree with you that that was probably the biggest turning point of the game, just because you're right. It kind of felt like Washington State had some momentum. Maybe they could go down the field and score, and then it was a one possession game.
And we've seen that a lot before this year.
Right. And we've seen it against UW playing top 10 teams. And I think the biggest turning point for me was just the response after that first drive. You know, we've also seen the defense give up points on that first drive and then kind of hold them a couple times, but then just, you know, fall to pieces when it needs to be strong. It happened in the Colorado game. Colorado obviously got the early lead. I believe it was a 13-0 halftime lead. UW went right down the field, the offense, and scored a touchdown to make it a one-score game, and the defense right after that gave up another touchdown to extend the lead. Which, again, it's just putting your offense in a bad situation when, you know, you hold them to 13 points, you hold them to 13 points, your offense finally does something, and it was a long drive, and then you give up a score. Whereas I think in this game, obviously Washington State went down the field and scored a field goal again, but holding, you know, the number one passing offense in the country to just 6 points after the opening drive is just a phenomenal feat. And they, again, you know, there's a lot of good athletes on UW's team, but it really comes down to Jimmy Lake. I think he could get a lot out of pretty much anybody back there. He knows what Mike Leach is trying to do and what he's trying to accomplish. And so to me, I think that's not like a clear turning point in the game, but I just think the response was really strong for UW.
Honestly, looking back at it, I think there was also one little mini turning point just right on UW's second drive with that big play. And I know we've talked a little bit about how you're always one play away. There are always one or two plays that if they go wrong, it's everybody's pointing to. And there have been a couple this year that have gone right, and you point to them and say, wow, if that went wrong.
Then, right.
And I just think about Washington's first drive. They go coming into this game, Washington had just run the ball down Wazoo's throats for 7 straight years.
Right.
They come in, first play is a pass play, Jacob Eason gets sacked. Second play is a pass play, Jacob Eason makes a not great throw. Third play is a pass play, on third and long, Eason gets pressured.
It's a check down to Bynum for 4 yards.
Second drive is a run, it goes nowhere. And if you're Washington, I mean, the way that first drive went and the way the previous Alpha Cups have gone, you think, run the ball again, they can't stop it twice. And instead, they go play action to Terrell Bynum, and it works for 57 yards.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the offense is in business, and it doesn't get out of business for another four drives.
Right.
And I think that was a huge turn of events. Because if not, then you're looking at third and long, obvious passing down. UW doesn't do good on obvious passing downs.
No.
Give the ball back to Wazoo with a 7-0 lead, and that could have been a put-away blow just right away. And
right.
It didn't.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, you got any numbers for me?
Numbers. I think the ultimate deciding factor in this game was those turnovers were backbreaking, and two of them were on terrible decisions by Anthony Gordon. I don't like to blame players or anything for that, but one of them was right at the end of the half, and he had a miscommunication of some kind, but he basically threw the ball up to three UW defenders who had to fight for the ball.
Yeah.
There were no Cougars in the area.
20 yards.
And that's just backbreaking, especially I believe they were down close to the midfield. You could get a field goal or something out of it, and that makes it a one-score game. So that's the first backbreaking one. Obviously, we already talked about the fumble being the turning point. Miles Bryant could have taken it to the house, but that's when you're driving, and on a key, I believe it was a third and short, it was a third and three, you throw a check down to one of your backup running backs, Max Borgi, one of your best running backs, one of your best playmakers, isn't even on the field. It's to one of your backup running backs. Gets thrown to him. He gets taken down awkwardly. Huh?
He got the first down.
Right. He got the first down, but
wait,
he fumbled.
No, he didn't. Never mind. Yeah.
He was short. He gets taken down short of the first down marker, and then he fumbles. I just think putting the ball in a key situation like that where you need a score to your second or third string running back.
Well, he hadn't been in that entire possession.
Yeah, or if he had, he hadn't gotten a carry, or he hadn't gotten a reception.
Well, he had been in that entire possession, or at least because Washington State started that drive, and then the quarterback happened, and then Max Borgi wasn't in for the final five plays of that possession. It was Deion McIntosh and a rush that went somewhere, and then an incomplete pass, and then that final one. So yeah.
Right, and then that's obviously backbreaking, and then the last interception from Gordon, where Trent McDuffie made a heck of a play, but also just a bad decision, backbreaking when you need a score, and UW is able to capitalize and turn it into points. So I think at the end of the day, UW's ability to produce turnovers against this offense has been one of the reasons why it wins every single year.
Yep. I mean, sort of off of that, I think the biggest number is Washington State. It's passing yards. Like, I know our threshold was 300 yards.
Right, and he just cracked it.
He just cracked it. Then Gordon gets up to 308. That's the most that Washington has allowed this season. It's the most Washington has allowed since midway through last season. They gave up. It's the first time they've given up 300 yards since the Stanford game last season, actually.
Wow, that's wild.
And this has been a bit of a down year at times for the UW secondary, and just the fact that, Washington State was going to rack up those yards, and he did it on 48 of 62 passing.
Yeah, and if you divide 308 by 48, that averages about 6.5 yards.
Yeah, there were checkdowns and checkdowns and more checkdowns.
Right.
And, we talked at the beginning about the, five-play Wazoo playbook and the plays that even the alumni were able to diagnose.
Right.
But, that's been the story.
With the amount of youth that UW has, with all those freshmen starting in the backfield, they were able to game plan
on a short week. 48 of 62 for 308 yards, no touchdowns and two interceptions is pretty much just what you expect in an Apple Cup.
Right. But
if you had told me that Connor Holiday did that 5 years ago,
right,
I would just say, yeah, that's normal.
Right, and that was like a senior at the time, and now you're looking at a UW secondary, which has not been great been pretty good for most of the year, but not great by any means, especially with all those freshmen, and they're still able to do this on a short week. On a short week, they had less time to prepare. It's just, again, we all said it in the press box. I said it in my prediction. I think I was only a couple points off. I guess 28-17. It was pretty close.
Yeah.
Until Mike Leach, and he might not even come back next year, but if he does, until he can beat Chris Peterson, he's not going to. And Jimmy Lake, especially.
I know we're sanctimonious trolls for saying that.
Yes. Not sorry about it, though.
But we're not sorry.
I will embrace that moniker, Mike.
We are all sanctimonious trolls.
I don't know. Do you have any other final takeaways? We got to wait a bit to find out where UW's headed. It's probably likely in California in the Holiday or the Red Box Bowl.
Yep.
But, you know, I think that we all kind of expected this result to happen anyway. And I think it would have been more telling if UW would have lost this game.
Yeah, that's what I was... Like, I know we talked about it earlier about how whether this meant more or less than in years where the Pac-12 North was on the line. And I know, like, obviously there's no division title on the line. There's no Rose Bowl on the line. There's no playoff on the line.
Or Premier Bowl game.
Or Premier Bowl game on the line for the first time in, like, 5 years. But I think in some ways that's almost like, if you're a senior on this UW class, what do you have to look on? Well, your senior year, you didn't beat Oregon. You didn't go to the playoff. You didn't go to the Pac-12 championship game. You still beat Wazoo.
Yeah.
And I think that means a lot. And I think it definitely might not have meant as might not mean as much as if they had been that team that finally lost to Wazoo.
Right.
But I think just having that to hang your hat on and go forward, I think that's the driving storyline.
I think so, too. I think it's the same deal. I mean, you could tell, you know, guys like Miles Bryan and Nick Harris were, you know, they're the ones that are a little more outspoken because they know their careers are over now and they haven't lost to Washington State.
And they won't.
Whereas, like, you see guys like, you know, Elijah Molden, who's like, I probably got one more game to play, so I should probably hold off until next year. But, you know, this is the third straight year where a UW class is undefeated against Washington State. And, again, as long as Jimmy Lake is the defensive coordinator at UW and as long as Mike Leach is head coach of Washington State, which seems unlikely at this moment, but as long as that's happening, I think, you know, and Miles Bryan said this, UW's going to be in good hands.
Yep. So that's it. It is 7:12 now in the Husky Stadium press box. Still feels early.
The lights are still on.
The lights are still on. I don't know. My last game here. I think we better get down to the field or something.
Take
a photo or something. Soak it all in.
Shed some tears.
We shall be back to you once more, presumably,
at a bowl game, wherever that may be. Yeah.
Stay tuned for announcements on that. But signing off for the last time in about a month, I've been Josh Kirschbaum here with Alec Dietz, and we'll see you next time.
This podcast is sponsored by University Bookstore. Join the Pack Rewards and save 10% on Husky gear every day, even on game day. Join the Pack today at ubookstore.com.